Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. With the 150th anniversary of Confederation in Canada and the 4th of July going on south of the border, this is a long weekend with lots of movies and time to watch them. This week I'm looking at two comedy dramas from the U.S. and a documentary out of Canada. There's a comedian coping with blind dates, a girl school dealing with a wounded soldier, and a country coming to terms with its new constitution. The Big Sick, directed by Michael Showalter. Kumail Nanjiani, played by Kumail Nanjiani, is a stand-up comic who wants to make it big. He's a self-described numbers geek who's into the X-Files and corny horror movies. He's dating Emily, played by Zoe Kazan, a nice down-to-earth woman he met at the comedy club, and the relationship is getting serious, but Kumail has a secret. His Pakistani-American parents, played by Anupam Kher and Zenobia Shroff, insist their son marry a Muslim Pakistani woman, so they constantly surprise him with blind dates. His parents know nothing about Emily, and she doesn't know about his parents. Everything goes well until Emily uncovers Kumail's secret X-file. That's a cigar box where he puts the photos of his prospective arranged marriage dates into. She's livid and never wants to see him again, but the next time he hears from her, she's in hospital on her deathbed with a mysterious illness. That's the Big Sick of the title. He stays by her bedside until she's put into a coma. Things get complicated when her parents, Beth and Terry, played by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano, arrive. They know all about his secrets and lies, and they don't trust him and his relationship with her. But their relationship gradually grows as all of them cope with Emily's trouble together. Will Emily recover? Can she forgive Kumail? And can he tell the truth of this relationship to his family? So The Big Sick is a very sweet romantic comedy and, well, spoiler alert, it's based on Kumail and Emily's real-life story, so you guessed it, she doesn't die in the end. I like that it doesn't succumb to crass toilet humor and looks for jokes more in the life of a stand-up comic and his relationships. Holly Hunter and Ray Romano are especially good, as are Kumail's parents in the movie. This is a good date movie. The Beguiled, directed by Sofia Coppola. It's rural Virginia during the U.S. Civil War, where a school for young ladies remains somehow untouched by the war raging all around them. There, beautifully dressed and coiffed women study literature, music, French, and the Bible, seemingly oblivious by the mayhem inside the school's wrought iron, just outside the school's wrought iron gates. There's the imperious Miss Martha, played by Nicole Kidman, the dowdy Miss Edwina, played by Kirsten Dunst, the recently grown-up Alicia, played by Elle Fanning, and the nature-loving little Amy, among many other characters. They live in harmony in an old plantation house with two-story Ionic columns, but no slaves, mind you, they all ran away. No one has breached the gates until one day, young Amy is out picking mushrooms and she finds a wounded Yankee soldier. Corporal John McBurney, played by Colin Farrell, says he joined the Union Army straight off the boat from Dublin. And now he's a wounded deserter. Can the ladies help him? So Miss Martha sews up his wounds and lets him stay, but only as a prisoner. And that's when the corporal turns up the charm level to high and begins beguiling and seducing all the girls and women. "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever met," he tells one. "You're the one I love the best," he tells another. "We have a special bond between us," he says to a third. Soon, all the women are fighting each other to get their time alone with the handsome young soldier. This culminates at a very funny dinner where all the women are all gussied up in makeup and jewelry, each hoping he'll pick her. But something unexpected happens, and the smiling charmer turns into a violent ogre. What will the women do with their visitor now? So The Beguiled is a dark comedy, a remake of the 1970s movie, told very much from the point of view of the women. It includes lots of twists and turns, and is actually a simple 90-minute fast-moving picture. I thought the acting was good, but the looks of the movie itself is fantastic. The costumes, the cinematography, the setting, everything. I describe it, the only way I can think of it is as an over-the-top subtlety, with the oak trees groaning with all the Spanish moss and a constant mist covering everything. I like this one. In the Name of All Canadians. It's Canada's sesquicentennial, 150 years since Confederation, so Hot Docs has commissioned a multi-part documentary made by a number of filmmakers. I dreaded watching this at first because I was afraid this would be yet another treacly look at Canada, toques, poutine, multiculturalism, health system, Tim Hortons, but I was way off the mark. Actually, this movie is a reality check, a hard look at all the egregious errors Canada's governments have made over the past 70 years or so. Did you know Franco-Manitoban school teachers were forbidden from teaching in French for some 50 years? They had to do it on the sly. Then there's the case of Mr. Abdul Razak, the Sudanese-Canadian man who was tortured and then forced to camp out inside the Canadian embassy in Khartoum for 3 years before he was allowed to come home. There's also the mass arrest, the G20 conference, the internment of Japanese Canadians, discrimination faced by Black and Muslim Canadians, and the biggest issue of all, of course, truth and reconciliation with Aboriginal Canadians for crimes including, but not limited to, the residential schools. So in form, most of these docs don't use the old school fly-on-the-wall record of real events. Instead, they have actors reading scripts, animated sequences, talking heads, reenactments. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Some are very moving, other parts veer into the speechifying. But the serious parts are tied together by cute short sequences in between them, where they ask various Canadians what they prefer on a huge range of topics. Well, not perfect. Altogether, this film gives a good look at Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, its successes and failures. So worth seeing on this holiday weekend. In the Name of All Canadians is playing now at the Hot Dog Cinema, and The Big Sick and The Beguile both open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.